The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices, oh night divine, oh night when Christ was born, oh night divine. Divine, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, oh praise his name forever, oh night divine, oh night when Christ was born, oh night divine. Oh, night divine, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night. Divine, oh night, oh night, divine.
Merry Christmas Eve, our wonderful patriots on the Freedom Force Battalion. I'm so glad to spend Christmas Eve with you. I hope you enjoy this Christmas Eve special. We're taking this time out to really focus on the birth of our Lord and his joy to the world, that he has come into the world, and really not just his first advent, but his second to rule the world. So we're going to talk about tonight all the scripture that leads up to his birth. So let's dive right in. This is from Luke chapter 1. Our wonderful Mary received this announcement from this amazing angel Gabriel. She is the woman in labor. Mary is really the woman in labor. She's a picture of all of humanity in birth pangs to bring in the kingdom of Christ. And so really starting with Adam and Eve, you know, Eve being the first mother, and then as we all are striving together to bring in the kingdom of Christ, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's read this account from Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." So she's received this amazing visitation from this angel. She's a betrothed. She's not married. She's basically engaged, but it's a little more, it's more serious than that. It's a contract that was between Joseph and Mary. So they both lived in Nazareth, which is about an hour and a half's drive north of Jerusalem. And so she is, you know, minding her own business, and all of a sudden this angel appears to her. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." The amazing thing is Mary did not, you know, react the way many of the people who saw angels did. She was, you know, of course surprised, but she did not, you know, fall over like some of these people, as like they couldn't even move. So she was, you know, listening to him, and he doesn't slow down. He appears to her and immediately gives her this shocking news that she will conceive and bear a son. And so she knows that's not, you know, physically possible. So she doesn't, you know, she just has some questions about it. There are others who have an angel visitation and they question the angel, but she's not doing that. She's much more respectful of the angel who's appearing to her. Angel Gabriel said, "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." How about that? She's going to be in the royal line now. And actually, I'm going to show you the genealogy. She's actually in the line of David already, as well as Joseph. So she will be the one who they promised for all these years. The Lord had promised to send the Savior, and she is finding out that she is going to be his mother. Amazing. "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." How about that? This is what we've been praying. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So she will be the first woman, well, the woman in labor. And so later on, I'm going to show you the sign of the Bethlehem star that we have always found, you know, heard about. But now you can actually see it. So I hope you really enjoy that. But this is called the woman in labor. How about that? All right. So, she says, her response to the angel is, "How can this be, since I do not know a man? How I'm a virgin. How can this be?" So she's not, you know, saying she doesn't believe him like Zechariah did with the miracle birth of John the Baptist. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For God, with God, nothing will be impossible." So she might not have even known about this. So maybe the angel is the first one telling her this news. Either way, she was going to be very respectful to this angel and not doubt what his message was. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. It sounds like he was only there for, you know, 5 minutes, very, very short order. And he got delivered the message and off he went. So I love that she calls herself the maidservant of the Lord. She says, "I'm here to do the Lord's will, whatever he wants me to do." Amazing. A wonderful, wonderful Mary. "Let it be to me according to your word." So and one of the things I love is I found out just a few years ago that Melissa actually means handmaiden or maidservant of Jesus. And I love that. I love that name, little handmaiden or maidservant of the Lord. I love that name. So that's what she calls herself. She kind of calls herself Melissa. Kind of cool. Anyway, so the next verse 39 says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." Now she's leaving. It says she went with haste to this city of Judah because this was a big problem that she was, you know, not yet married to Joseph, and she's going to be pregnant, and this is going to be a big problem. And we'll get to this in a second, where Joseph ended up having to, you know, say he would just put her away quietly because he did not want, you know, her to get in big trouble, as in they would stone women who did this. And so, you know, obviously this was going to make cause her some trouble. So she was very brave. She knew this when she accepted this mission. She knew this was not going to be an easy task. And far into when Jesus was born and he was grown in his ministry, and they called him, illegitimate. So this was the word on the street. They definitely had looked into this, and they had found out the dirt on them. And so she had to carry that scarlet letter with her the rest of her life. Now, of course, we all recognize and honor her that she was the virgin mother of our Lord Jesus. But back in the day, people didn't realize that. And so it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. How about that? So this baby leaps in her womb just at the sensing the presence, hearing the voice of Mary. So the baby was obviously also filled with the Spirit, as the Word of God says, from his mother's womb. How awesome is that? So, you know, that's our prayer for all of our children, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit from their mother's womb. And so Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So she had not gotten a text message or a call saying that this is what was going on. And so Mary just appears, but she can tell something, you know, the baby inside of her, whom she knows is a miracle baby, is very excited. So she begins to speak with a loud voice and say, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Of course, this is what is in the rosary spoken over and over and over, and that this is part of the Catholic prayers, is, "Blessed are you." Blessed is Mary because she is ushering in. She's being used of the Lord to bring in the kingdom of Christ. And in the same way, you know, we are also blessed of the Lord because we are working daily to bring in his kingdom. So she says, "And blessed is the fruit of your womb." So you recognize that she's blessed. And of course, the Lord Jesus in her womb is blessed. So she wasn't very far along. So it says that it was 6 months. So when she got the message when Mary got the message from the angel Gabriel, and so Elizabeth is still pregnant. So it's within 3 months she's there. So it's just with haste. I'm thinking she went that week. So this was going to be a tough thing. She had to, first of all, tell her mother, which I'm sure was not an easy task. I'm sure her mother was a woman of faith also. But this is, that was the wisest thing for her to do at that point. There would be too many questions where they lived in Nazareth, this small town. I've actually been to Nazareth, and it's a small town, so this would have been going like wildfire. So why, Elizabeth says, is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Again, she is prophesying by the Holy Spirit. She recognizes that Mary is going to is the mother, already really the mother of this the Christ child. She recognizes that. She says, how could I be so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. So blessed are you, Mary, because you believed. And I will say, yes, you know, Zechariah had learned his lesson that, you know, he had not believed the angel, but somehow Elizabeth knew that Mary had received a visitation from an angel also, but this time she had believed it. All right, so Mary responds, again filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Magnifies the Lord, makes him magnificent, makes him like magnification, make him great in the world, recognize that he is the awesome God that he is. She recognizes it in the deepest part of her soul. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." She recognizes that he's her Savior too. Some people say that she was immaculate and that she was not a sinner also, but she recognized that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. She says this in the what they call the Magnificat. "For he has regarded the holy state of his maidservant." She's the maidservant. She recognizes herself as the maidservant of the Lord. "And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And isn't that the truth? Every Christmas we talk about it. Of course, the Catholics do this every time they pray the rosary. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him." Amen. "From generation to generation." Amen. Isn't that the truth? His mercy is on us because we fear him, we respect him, we give him honor, we give him awe, and reverence him and to obey him. "From generation to generation." Here we are, 2,000 years later. How many generations is that that we still fear the Lord? "For he has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." She's talking about herself. "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." He has helped rich in the not money really, because Job was rich, but prideful. The prideful he has sent away empty. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." To his seed forever, to Christ, really is talking about to Christ, who is the seed, and we receive all these things because of Christ. Everything, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. All this comes from because of what our Lord Jesus did for us, who he is and what he has done for us. So all these blessings are received because of Christ. The sunshine today and the rain when it rains and the beauty of this earth, the heart, your heart is beating and the eyes to see and the ears to hear, all these things are from the blessing that we receive from because of Abraham and his seed again, which is Christ. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then she returned to her house. So after 3 months, then she's going to start showing. Now, I'm thinking at that point, so anyway, we'll get to that, what happens with her and Joseph. All right, the betrothal period would be over at that point, and I don't really think that the Bible really talks about that, but I think that likely is what how technically it worked. All right, she stayed there until John the Baptist was born. Now, Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So before we go on to what happened in Luke chapter 2, let's talk about what happened with Joseph. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" The name Jesus actually means the Savior. Okay, so he received the message in a dream that his name would be Jesus. So did Mary that his name would be Jesus. Normally the father would name the child. Anyway, so he was going to just put her away, say, you know, clearly you haven't been faithful to me, so, you know, we'll have to break off the betrothal. But thankfully he received a message from the Lord. You know, Mary didn't know how Joseph was going to respond. It'd be a difficult thing, but he was a man of faith also, and he recognized this was a task that the Lord had assigned to him to be the father of the Christ child. So he was, you know, I'm sure pretty excited about that too, and took on this task willingly. So they definitely do deserve honor as being what the Catholics call the Holy Family. So, you know, it says, don't be afraid. She hasn't been unfaithful. That this baby is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth this son. And so it's really so amazing. So Joseph, but while I'm here in Matthew chapter 1, let me go ahead and show you at the beginning of of Matthew, it goes into the entire lineage of Joseph's family from Abraham. And so you see, you know, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah. I'm not going to read all of it, don't worry. But as you keep going down, you'll see that he is in the line of David. Remember, Boaz married Ruth. Remember that from the book of Ruth? Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, who was the king. And of course, we know David had Solomon, so he's in the line through Solomon. So he's in the kingly line. Okay, this is important because this is how the Lord Jesus is in the kingly lineage. Even though Joseph was not technically, physically his father, he did legally receive this lineage through Joseph to be in the kingly line. Okay, so this is very important. And so I'm going to show you also when you move down a little bit, you'll see Eliud begot Eliezer. Eliezer begot Mathan. Mathan begot Jacob. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Okay, so that pretty cool here that Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. I'm telling you, the Lord does all these things with precision. Clockwork. Very, very, very interesting how he does this. This is all planned out from, from the beginning. The Lord knows the end from the beginning, which is obviously very, very easy for him. All right. So now you see how they've worked this out. Joseph is going to accept this task, this mission from the Lord. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. I think this is Isaiah chapter 9. The virgin shall bear a son. Anyway, so this is a prophecy in the Old Testament. So Joseph then was roused from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. So, after the betrothal period had ended, then they ended up, going through the marriage ceremony. But he did not know her physically until our Lord Jesus was born. It's very important. He was good man, no doubt. Very, very good man. So now let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and see what happens there. So of course, there's going to have to be the taxing people have to get involved. They always have to cause all kinds of trouble, as if we don't have enough issues to deal with. In Luke chapter 2, it says, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. In other words, taxed. Okay, the only reason they want to register anything is so they can tax it. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to their own city. So you have to leave. Let's say you live in Nazareth, but where is your hometown that you are from, that your family is from? And so this is a very important thing in Israel, especially because the land was divided to all each one of the 12 tribes. Anyway, so I say 12, but that includes Ephraim and Manasseh because there's not a tribe of Joseph. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so, but the Levites did not get any of the land because they had land everywhere so they could have the temple, so the places of worship in each of those, each of the locations. Anyway, so you've got these 12 tribes all, you know, had their own, and within those tribes, they had their hometown. So you would go back to your tribe, and his tribe is the tribe of Judah, and that's David. He went to David's hometown, which was Bethlehem. All right, so that's we know that from 1 Samuel. You'll see, if you wanted to go back and see more about that. All right, so Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger of all things, because there was no room for them in the inn. That's a lot said in just a couple of sentences. So they get taxed. They have to, you know, and here she is at this point, very, very pregnant. Very much she has to, a very difficult journey for her. They don't give a care about that in the world. They don't care what she's experiencing. You've got to go and you've got to be taxed. And if you're in the middle of labor, that's okay too. We don't really care. So she rides this donkey all this way. Can you imagine what a trip that was? And so she gets there and this activity has spurred her that this is happening. This is happening tonight. So she, you know, of course, puts him in a manger. Of course, you already know this is basically a dish for donkeys to eat out of, but that's all they had. They didn't have I'm sure she had gotten her house, everything ready for the baby and everything settled. Well, that's not the way it was going to work. And she had to make do with what she had. And I love that that the Lord was not born in a palace. And he wasn't just born in a home in Nazareth. He was born in very difficult circumstances and under this taxation system, under this tyranny. He was born, you know, not even in a home. He was born in a stable. So, you know, someone might say, well, you know, I can't really relate to him. Well, yes, no, maybe because he willingly put himself in an even lowlier position than anyone. They were very, very poor and, you know, being taxed of the little of nothing that they had and end up, you know, no one would even take them in. And understandably, everyone's bearing down on Bethlehem because it's you know, the taxation time, and a lot of people are from Bethlehem but did not stay in Bethlehem. They moved to different places, Nazareth or Jerusalem or wherever they moved. And so, you know, there are a lot of people there who, and many people probably did not have a place to stay. But if you're having a baby, you need something. You need some place. Oh, Mary, bless their hearts. It was quite the night. All right, so I wanted you to see that. This is again from Luke chapter 2. I think there's another section of it in Matthew chapter 1, but or another place. But anyway, the main thing is that they are on this trip, and it spurs on that it looks like that Joseph was maybe the only one there. So finally, someone did give them the opportunity to stay in the stable. And maybe, you know, the lady who owned it, maybe she helped. It doesn't really say. So there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Got to watch the sheep. The wolves don't take a break. They're going to be out there. You've got to be out there watching those sheep. Now, when we went to Israel years ago, we went to this place. Now, we could not go at that point into Bethlehem because of, you know, different kinds of issues that were going on politically. So we did go to a place and we ate dinner, and it was in like afternoon. And so they said overlooking this hill down into the valley was Bethlehem. And so I'm realizing that what I'm looking at, I'm standing there just taking it all in, realizing that what I was looking at is where the angels appeared to the shepherds and how a window of heaven was opened up for them to be able to come and sing to the shepherds the glory to God in the highest. And like this would, what, you know, imagine myself back in that day, 2,000 years ago, and the scene that must have been for these shepherds who were out in the dark of night. All they could hear was the cattle lowing and watching the stars, but they had no idea what was going on. And you know, that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, that most people, you know, they were busy doing their own thing, and they had no idea that the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, was being born in that city that very night when they were there. They may never have found out that they were there on the very night when Christ was born. Now, there was some hubbub because the shepherds went to see, because I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 2, verse 8, what the angels told them about the Savior. But, and you know, I imagine they told some people, but it, you know, more than likely, most people just slept right through it. Not so different from today. That we are witnessing something absolutely monumental. We're witnessing, you know, his kingdom coming, his will being done on earth. We're witnessing the Great Awakening in Armageddon, and we're going to witness the, you know, the Golden Age Millennial Kingdom of Christ. And most people have missed most of it. And I'm very thankful that we have not, that we have been awake. The Lord awakened us so that we could be a part of his great army. What an honor. What an honor. So, you know, but that not so different from back in the day. It's just, you know, it's a blessing. It's a huge blessing of the Lord for him to awaken you and me to, and he awakened these shepherds and he told the wise men, and they were able to participate and to witness this with their own eyes. So, you know, just always remember that and give thanks to the Lord that he awakened you. Pinch yourself and it's like, is this really happening? Am I that blessed? Like, you know, Elizabeth was saying, am I so blessed that I get to see these things? It's huge. It's really huge. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas Eve, that you were like the wise men on this night, that you were awakened to see his kingdom come. Anyway, these shepherds were living out in the fields. They were watching their flocks at night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Remember how I was saying Mary did not respond the way that most of them did, just in petrified in fear. She was very calm. And I think that's why the Lord chose her. She was a very calm person. She did not get rattled easily. Anyway, so she was tough. Anyway, so, but she was so kind and patient and gentle. Anyway, so, this angel of the Lord stood before them, and this glory, there was glory all around them. They were so afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, if you remember, David, who lived in Bethlehem, was a shepherd. Likely this was the same places where he had taken his sheep to graze. And remember how the Lord had selected David to be the king of Israel because he was a shepherd of Israel. He would guard the sheep. And remember how David had been willing to, you know, fight bears and lions with his own mouth and taking the sheep out of their mouths. I mean, he was so, so brave, and we needed someone who was brave like that. Reminds me of our wonderful president. I'm just saying, President Trump. Anyway, so this angel, though, said, not to be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I'm telling you, but it's going to be for everyone. This is going to be good news for the entire world. And so the angel said, there's born to you this day, right now, in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll know you've found the right baby when you find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger of all things, lying in a dish for donkeys. So you need to go out and look for stables, right? This is how you'll know that you have found, you know, it's not every day that you see a baby in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, a donkey dish. Yeah, that's not something you see just every day. All right, so he said this one angel said this, and then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord is not coming to destroy. He's coming to save. Now, this song's the second advent. He's coming to destroy the evildoers. But he was coming to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that's what he's coming to do now, is bring peace on earth. And in order to do that, got to cast out the evildoers. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. So this, imagine this scene, this, like you have a window open into heaven. You see this sky filled with angels. Can you imagine what the shepherds witnessed? Just how beautiful. And they're singing and praising the Lord that he would do such a thing, that he would send the Son of God to earth in flesh, as a baby, in a stable of all things. Just the wisdom and the knowledge and the perfection of the plans of the Lord just are astounding. So that we can all realize that we can connect with him, because he is humble and lowly too. As high and exalted as he is, he humbled himself. And as we know, he humbled himself even farther to take on the cross, to take on our sins. So he is absolutely amazing. So the angels were worshiping him, and so do we tonight. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, well, let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, some people, I guess, had to stay back and take care of the sheep. I don't know. But they said, let's go. And they made haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and this baby, the babe, lying in a manger, just as the angel had told them. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. So they started telling people all around what is happening in their town. I wonder how many people really got up and went to see. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if how many people did actually go and see this thing. So they made it widely known. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They got to see this, the Christ. They'd been waiting on the Christ, and they were told by the angel this was happening this day. And so they were faithful. They did what the Lord had told them to do, which was to go and tell the good news. So they did, and people were marveling. So that's good. It'd be interesting to know. The Bible doesn't tell us how many people actually got up out of their, got up and went to see. Anyway, so we don't know. So then on the eighth day, okay, in God's word, on the eighth day, the child is to be circumcised. So on that eighth day, when those days were completed for the circumcision of the child, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. He received his name on that day at his circumcision, the name given by the angel before he was even conceived in the womb. Then, when the days of her purification, Mary had to go through the days of until she was cleansed from this the childbirth, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They presented him to the Lord in Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Specifically for a poor family, that's what they would offer, two turtle doves or two young pigeons. All right, so they go all the way to Jerusalem, which, I'm sure she needed a break after all of that and the difficult ride to Bethlehem. So anyway, after her purification was over, then she could go there. Now let's see what happened when she got there. Simeon said, sees God's salvation. Verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. So Simeon is in the temple. He's waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promise. He knew that the days were soon. The days were coming up for the Messiah to appear, just like we know that we're living in the day for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth, to cast out the evildoers, to have the Armageddon, and to enter into the millennial kingdom. He knew, Simeon knew, that back in the day it was time for Christ to be born. Okay, he knew that this was coming up soon, and that's why he parked himself right at the temple, because he knew that the Savior would one day come to the temple to be dedicated. Okay, isn't that what they call it? Called it here. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They brought, would bring him and to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, to dedicate him to the Lord. Okay. So they were waiting, and so he's parked himself right there saying, I'm going to wait right here and be here as much as possible until I see this the one who is going to bring the consolation of Israel. I'm waiting for the Savior to appear. So it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What an awesome thing. You know, that reminds me a little bit of RFK, how he just prayed. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I really want to help to save the American people from the chronic disease and all that the captured AMA has done to them. And so he prayed, and the Lord has opened up this door for him to work in the Trump administration. So that's what happens when we pray. When the Lord puts something on our hearts, he will, you just keep working it and praying over it and being faithful, and he will fulfill this. And he, just like he did with Simeon, the Simeon was promised he would not die. He would not die until he saw the Christ child. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. I can die peacefully now. I can die in peace because I know I have seen the Christ. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The Lord had promised, and he knew by the power of the Holy Spirit that this was the child. He knew it. And so Mary is watching all these things. Here she was already witnessing that the shepherds had come, the people from the town likely had come, and I haven't even talked about the wise men coming. And now she's getting to see, the Simeon recognizes that he is the Christ. This is would be very encouraging to her, very encouraging, and just as it said earlier, she pondered all these things in her heart. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And this is what we're seeing in this day. We're seeing the exposure of many hearts. All these things are being revealed, and just buckle up because more is coming when the justice, the hammer falls, and like Cash Patel has already talked about, and more are being revealed. For example, we've seen, Cheney was supposed to be a good Republican and one of the leaders in the Republican Party. And now we realize they're neocons and they're working against the Trump against the people. Same thing, we've seen some people who were like RFK was a Democrat. Well, he has come over to the Trump side. And it's not really about Democrat or Republican, because we realize that they've both been captured. And so really it's the Trump movement really. And so, these hearts are being revealed. People are being revealed who they truly are. This is what's happening now. And this happened back in the day. It was revealed that these priests and these kings hated God and hated Christ. But there were some who were proven to be righteous, like Joseph of Arimathea, who made sure to have a place to bury the Lord Jesus. Different ones that were proven to be righteous. Okay. So I love that Simeon knew all these things, as he was walking with the Lord, and the Lord revealed this to him, and he told them when they brought Jesus into the temple. Now, Anna also, she was in the temple. She was a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived without with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. So her husband had died, but who did not depart from the temple. She stayed there. She basically lived there, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. What a wonderful woman. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Israel. I mean, Jerusalem. So she's saying, I've seen the Messiah. She would, I'm sure from until she passed, she would tell people, I've seen him. I saw the child. The Savior is here among us. He is here and he's going to rescue Jerusalem. Now, what they might not have understood was that he had two missions. His first mission was to come and die on the cross. His second mission is to destroy the evildoers. We know that. Joy to the world really is talking about his second advent. All right, so the next thing is they go back to Nazareth. When they performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace that was upon of God was upon him. All right, so the next thing I wanted you to see is about the wise men that had come. So it's the story's a little bit disjointed. And the reason for that is because you've got this, Luke told certain portions of what happened, and Matthew told other portions, and they're not symmetrical. And that, you know, that makes sense, because when someone would write something, let's say you are writing something and you're being, you know, just from your heart, you're putting all these things down in paper. You're not necessarily, you know, putting every last piece of information. You'll get some of the information from one person, some of the information, you know, let's say when Matthew wrote it, he put down some of the information. Luke wrote it and wrote down some other parts of the story. And that really lends to the credibility of these accounts, because that's the way things happen. When people write from their heart, they're not trying to write like a textbook. They're writing it's not multiple people coming together. It's just this one person who's writing this account. Okay, so the next thing, though, it does say in Matthew chapter 2, was now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, how did they know about this star? It's just because Daniel was in the east, in Babylon, and he had told them about this from this prophecy, the 70 times 7 that we've talked about many times in the book of Daniel. I think it's chapter 9, and the 70 weeks are determined. Remember that? And so they had known this, that it would be 7 times 70 that in this prophecy. And a 70 is a loop. I'm going to show you this in a second. A loop of the Christ star of Jupiter, which is Melchizedek, does a loop and completes this entire circuit, and it takes 70 years. They call it a 70. Sometimes it takes takes longer. Sometimes 84 years. But the point is, they call it a 70 because it's the orbit of Jupiter, the Christ star. Okay, so they were watching the orbit, the path of the Christ star, but for 7 times. So it would be 7 generations. Really, a generation is 25 years. So let's say if you were, you know, you got to be 70, you would see the star, the Bethlehem, I'm sorry, the circuit of Jupiter once in your lifetime. This entire circuit of Jupiter. It takes the whole thing, because it does a loop, and it goes another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. To come back to the very, very starting point takes 70 years. So you would see it once in your life. And so they would have to pass this information down from generation to generation to generation, so that the wise men on the 7th circuit of Jupiter would be ready to say, we're in the generation. We're in that 7th generation. We are the ones who are going to get to see the Savior, and we're going to have to get on our camels, because it'll take months and months and months to get there. And so we're going to have to, you know, gather up our money and whatever so we can get there and witness this that Daniel had told them years ago. Remember how Daniel had saved their lives because the king was going to have, you know, kill them all because they couldn't tell the dream. But remember, Daniel was able to interpret the dream. The Lord told him the dream and the interpretation, and that saved all the wise men's lives. And those, so they you know, trusted Daniel and believed he was a true wise men of wise men. Okay. So now these wise men are coming from Babylon, basically what you would think of as Iraq. Okay. So he's saying, where is he who's, they were saying to the king or the king's people, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? And they of course went to the palace, which, you know, sounds like the thing to do. What they didn't realize was how wicked beyond words, wicked Herod was, and the entirety of the priesthood and the kings were, you know, captured and doing evil. Okay, so they, you know, they just didn't realize how bad these things had gotten over there, and they trusted to go to the palace. Not very wise, in my opinion. That they would do that. But either way, they just didn't realize how wicked Herod was. So they said, there's a star. We've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him. We're here at the palace to worship this new king. And Herod was not happy. When Herod heard about this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, because they knew he was ruthless. And if they thought he was going to do, if he thought he was threatened, it could be bad for a lot of people. When he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Of course, Herod did not like the sound of that at all. This is from the book of Micah. I think it's chapter 5. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And I guess he probably told them something similar to what I'm going to show you, the trajectory, what happened with the star. Now, this has been hidden from our generation. Most people don't know what the true situation is with the star, that it was a conjoining of two stars, Jupiter and Venus, two of the brightest lights in the heavens. And so this was extremely bright when they conjoined. Really, not, you can't even miss it. It was that bright. So he sent them to Bethlehem and says, oh, please go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, please bring word back to me that I may come to worship him also. All right. I'm guessing at this point, I don't know if they believed him, if they were already realizing he was not someone that they wanted to tangle with. Either way, that's what the king told them. And they went on their way. Now, it says, he told them that the wise men, I'm sure, told them about the stars. Anyway, so when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. I'm going to show you this on the video, but basically when Venus comes, so Jupiter's right here, and Venus comes along and moves and to conjoin with Jupiter, it's pointing them, go this way. Anyway, I'll show you that on the video. And when they saw the star conjoining, they rejoiced and exceedingly great joy. This was, you know, they see these things all the time. They're tracking the stars all the time, but they had not seen such a thing as this, the conjoining of these two, just after it did Jupiter had done a crowning of the regal star, which is in the paw of Leo, the lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So when they saw that, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. If you notice behind me, you can't really see it for the flag, but I've got, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. I'm going to, you know, I have that out in my background every day. You've probably seen it. I got this a couple Christmases ago. And so what I think of when I think of that is the star of, let me see if I can get this refresh. When I think of the woman in labor star, that's the one I see. When we saw this star, we rejoiced because we know this is what this is the beginning of. You know, we know it's now the beginning of the end for the deep state, the criminal cabal, Antichrist. All right, let me see if it'll refresh. Come on, little computer, you can refresh for me. It's Christmas. All right, so let me scroll down on my freedomforce.live main page. When they when I see this star sign, I realize this is the end times for the cabal. So this was Revelation 12, 1 and 2. For there appeared a great wonder in heaven. This is the woman in labor, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, 12 stars on her head, and she was with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. I'm going to show you the other sign, but basically it's very in a very similar place that the Christ star appeared. But yeah, this is the one that was the wake-up call for humanity and the kickoff for Armageddon, September 23rd, 2017, and we all started to wake up. All right, so now, let's see, that's the wise men. Okay, so I'm going to show you the video in a second, but I'll tell you when they heard, when they found the child, when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. So we know that they very soon went to, they went back to Nazareth to live, but they also went after her purification. They went to Jerusalem for his dedication. So I feel very strongly, especially because of the star in the heaven that they saw, that that this was right at the time of his birth. Very, very quickly, they saw him with his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So gold, of course, you're going to need the money to operate. Frankincense is for healing, and myrrh is burial spices. So why in the world would anyone give a baby burial spices? But they were giving that to him in recognition that he was going to come to save the world and to die for their sins. They were recognizing with that gift that they recognized that he would come to die for them. As it clearly talks about in Isaiah 53. I'm sure Daniel taught them all of these things, and they had learned all these things from Daniel. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I wish they'd gotten that message before, but either way, they were told, don't go back to the king. And all of this was planned, and look at what happens. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. A second time, the angel appeared in the dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So they got up that night. It says at night. He arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So, you know, it's, some people say that the wise men appeared, you know, later. And, you know, it's something that's, you know, something to look into. You know, if you remember, I think in January, they celebrate, you know, the wise men came a little bit later. So either way, the point is that the wise men saw the star, and they did come. And then, of course, they skedaddled out of there and got out to Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. I wish they hadn't given him all this information, but he probably would have killed even more if it hadn't, you know, been that. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah. Ramah is like the West Bank. A lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So much devastation, so much pain and agony. So when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. And he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. All right. So, yeah. So that it says here, he came and dwelt in the land, in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, that he should be called a Nazarene. All right, so I'm going to show you this beautiful sign in the heavens that many of you have seen. So, but I love to look at it to remind ourselves of this at Christmas time, what happened and this beautiful sign that the Lord gave to the wise men and to us. And so most people haven't found it, but I'm so thankful I was able to find the Bethlehem star when I looked on Stellarium, the online planetarium. Check it out.
Jupiter is coming down, and I'm going to actually tell it in the this search window here, the solar system objects. I'm going to say to show the trails, and I need to search for Jupiter this time, Jupiter, and so it should show the trail. And you're going to notice that Jupiter is going to make a loop around Regulus, and so that's what happens here. I'm just going to start it moving forward. And you'll see it's starting to make this loop. This was August of the year -2. Our Lord Jesus was born in June of -1. Okay, so you see it coming down a little farther around the belly of Leo. And I'm going to move it a little closer. You can see it's going to do a loop right there, as in loop capital. And you'll see it complete this loop as if to crown the king star of the king constellation. It's being crowned by the king wandering star, Jupiter, which is also called Melchizedek. So it completes this amazing loop. And then over on the right, notice Venus is coming along, and you will see it conjoins, and that was the day when our Lord Jesus was born, when these two very bright stars conjoined in the heavens. It's amazing. All right, so I want you to see that.
Okay, I want to say one other quick thing, that it says that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." All right, so it says they had seen that his star in the east, I believe that what they're meaning is that they have been tracking Jupiter or Melchizedek, the Christ star, for all those years, like Daniel had told them, and not that they had seen the conjoining, because that didn't happen until, I believe, on his actual date of his birth. So, and you know, all those years they've been waiting, they were not going to be late, in my opinion. They were going to be there to witness on the very day. So if you look here, they've come this long, long way. They've been waiting for all this time. They're going to make sure they're not late. Anyway, so Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 is where Daniel had given them this information, the prophecy that he received about the 70 weeks or the 70 sevens. So in other words, a 70 is the entire trajectory, circuit of Jupiter, Melchizedek, the Christ star, and they would have 70 weeks, as in seven of these. They would have seven times they'd have to follow, and on the seventh time, the seventh circuit, which was almost 500 years later, right? That generation would be the one who would find out, you know, be able to go to see and witness the birth of the Savior of the world. Okay, so he was saying 70 sevens are determined. So they would have to have seven times. They're watching the entire circuit of Jupiter. And the people, these wise men knew that they were on the seventh one. And that's what they're basically telling the king, that we're on the seventh circuit of Jupiter, when we've been following it. And we realize it's been doing a crowning of the regal star of Leo, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And so it's just now completing this crowning. And at the completing of this crowning, that's when the conjoining of Venus and Jupiter happened, which made this amazingly bright star in the heavens. I would really encourage you to find Jupiter and Venus on Stellarium and in the heavens. So it'll help you to find it in the heavens. You can also get the Sky View app on your phone. It can help you to find them and see how bright they are. Actually, I just got the telescope, right? And I just saw Jupiter, which is so bright. It's in Taurus right now and doing a zigzag loop in a zigzag in Taurus, which is really, really amazing. I think it's a sign of the end of the cabal. And so I also last night went out and I was trying to see Venus. It's in the eastern sky. I'm sorry, the western sky. So you, as soon as it gets dark, you've got to go out immediately if you've got a clear night, and you've got to look at it before it passes into the horizon. Okay, but imagine these two bright stars. Imagine them together, like on this picture. All right, so I want you to see that. One other quick thing I wanted to show you is in the book of Luke. It says in Luke chapter 3, it's saying the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Well, didn't we already read the genealogy? Well, that was of the through Joseph's family for the kingly line. But the line that Mary came from is the priestly line. So here is hers in Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 23. Jesus himself began his ministry at the age of 30 years of age. And so he says, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matat, whatever, all the way you go back, and you will see all the way to the Son of God. It goes all the way back to the Son of God. Here's where it is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Judah, Perez. So this is the priestly line that he is in this one. All right. So if you wanted to read more about that, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about that right now, but on gotquestions.org, which I find is a lot of great information on that site, you can see the Mary-lineage. So that in Luke, it records her lineage. All right. That was everything I wanted to share with you tonight on this beautiful night, Christmas Eve, that the whole world stops to worship the Lord. It's amazing. Some of the people might not completely understand what they're doing. They might be, just Santa Claus or not recognize, but I think everyone recognizes that we are celebrating the birth of the King of the world. You know, I have a nativity scene that we put at one of the churches on a main road, and so everyone can see. And in the manger that we have set up, you see there's a baby, but it's got a crown. We have a crown on his head, so everyone bowing down to recognize that he is the King. He's the King of the world. And so, I think more and more and more people are recognizing that he is the King of the world and will when he rules the world. Now, I wanted to show you before we go this beautiful song that you all know, Joy to the World, and that we all recognize that the joy to the world is not just his first advent, but really his second. That song was written by Isaac Watts, and the focus is on his second advent. Look at verse 3. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. So this is about his second advent, that no more are sins and sorrows and thorns going to overtake this world. No more, no more. And so that's what we're looking forward to. No more chronic disease, no more chemtrails, no more poisons, no more toxins, no more of all this corruption, no more of this tyranny. No more of this sin, rampant sin, and just the disrespect of the Lord. No more. And all these sorrows that have proceeded from it. No more. No more. Let all of this happen. And he rules the world. Look at verse 4. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. So, each one of us, as we have bowed the knee to Christ, we have seen the wonders of his love. We've seen what it is to walk with him and what joy it is and how it sets things right in our hearts and in our families and in our world. It just brings peace. And so all the world will recognize this, and all the nations will bow the knee to Christ, and no more wars, no more of this, all of this evil, and we'll have the righteous ruling throughout the world. Amazing. We're going to see it with our own eyes. I feel like Simeon and Anna, that we are so blessed to see this day. What an honor. Let's pray. And then I'm going to play for you one more song and then we're going to go. Thank you so much, Lord, for this beautiful Christmas Eve. Thank you for this Advent season when we celebrate your first Advent. And Lord, we are here to celebrate your second also, where you are destroying the evildoers on this earth and that they will be gone from us and the nations will prove the wonders of your righteousness and wonders of your love, and that everyone will bow the knee to you and recognize that you are the King of the world and that everything will be at peace. No more chronic illness, no more disease, no more wars. Peace on earth and everyone financially in good shape, that we'll have everything that we need. What an honor it is for you to speak to our hearts and help us to know this wonderful truth. And I pray for everyone here. They'll have a wonderful Christmas with their family and just that peace in their heart, knowing that you rule the world with truth and grace, and that the world will recognize that you are the King. We're just so excited to see it. So excited to see this golden age. So excited to see your kingdom come and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We praise you that you are the King. We praise you that you are our wonderful Savior and that you were born in a stable, even though you are the King of the world. We praise you and love you. I'm so thankful that you loved us first. We pray all these things in your great name, Jesus, the King of the world. Amen. All right, I'm going to play this one song and then we're going to go. I love you guys and I'll talk to you later.
To hear.